Good morning. You're early today. Yeah, a little bit. But this will let me lollygag and get a coffee. My dad used to say that, lollygag. I still say that, and I don't know where I picked it up from. My wife used to always say rendezvous when she didn't know where I was when we were dating. Like, I was out with the boys the night before. She'd say, oh, your rendezvous. All good phrases that need to make a comeback. One that used to drive my kids crazy, you know, they all had backpacks for school, but my dad always called them knapsacks. And so I would say, you know, got your knapsack? And they'd go, what is it? Nah, they'd get so angry. It's a backpack. And then, it's your knapsack. It drove them nuts. The joys of children. I look forward to annoying them with things like that they don't understand. Yeah, it was fun, and they use it every now and again, even now. Oh, what were some ones my dad used? Dungarees, knapsack. I think I got, I don't know if anybody used shenanigans. I think that one was, I picked that up somewhere more recently. Maybe from that movie, Waiting. Have you ever seen Waiting? I haven't seen Waiting, but in Super Troopers, when they're doing the shenanigans bit, I bet you I say shenanigans at least once a day. Well, that's the name of the restaurant in the movie Waiting. It's called Shenanigans, and you know, it's supposed to be like an Applebee's or a Bennigan's or, you know, whatever, something like that. Just your typical knockoff restaurant, and oh my God, you got to see Waiting. I highly recommend. I know I gave you the jerk on your dance card the other day, but if you haven't seen, Waiting's much more recent. Dane Cook is in that. He's not really much anymore. What's his face? Oh my God, why am I drawing a blank on the one of the main characters? Is The one hero, kind of scruffy one that kind of crude superhero that, you know, they're all betting on him on when he's going to die or something. You know what I'm talking about?
This has a good lineup. Ryan Reynolds, Justin Long, Anna Faris, Dane Cook, Louis Guzman. Didn't he just die? John Francis. Andy Milonakis? Yeah, I gotta watch this.
There you go. Ryan Reynolds, yeah. He's kind of the lead. But yeah, good stuff. You gotta watch that one.
Adding it to the list. Have you seen Happy Gilmore 2 yet?
Not 2, no.
Let me know what you think when you watch it.
That's Adam Sandler, right? I'm not a big fan of him, but I'll give it a go.
I'm not either. There's very few of his movies that I actually enjoy. Just his over-embellishment and overacting for everything kind of annoys the crap out of me. But Happy Gilmore 2, the production... I don't want to ruin it for you. The production's crazy. Like, the amount of cameos in that movie is nuts. Like, so many celebrities are in that movie.
Yeah, and it's been a long time since he, you know, was that guy. So I'm guessing he's probably, I mean, I'm sure he's bringing some of that, you know, back. After all, he's playing a character from, you know, from a first movie. But I'm sure he's matured as an actor.
he's definitely better. Well, I don't know. I guess it depends on what you're trying to get out of the movie, but if you got time, add that to your list.
Is that, like, current? Like, that's just out, isn't it?
Saturday, I think.
Right, so I gotta wait until it hits the, I gotta wait until it hits the sites, if you know what I mean.
It's a Netflix original, so if you've got Netflix, it's already out there.
Well, there you go. That's the site. I got it.
NABBF. I thought that was cool. That's how they released it, right? It wasn't a money grab. I'm sure it's a money grab, right? I can only imagine how many people bought Netflix for a month. It's cool how they did it. I'll give them that.
Yeah, I'm, you know, especially on bigger productions, I'm wondering how they work that whole direct-to-video, you know, and, well, not so much direct-to-video, but direct-to-streaming. Like, the one that comes to mind is Dune. That was a huge, huge, expensive movie. Big, big, big production. And that was released same day, you know, on Apple as it was in the theater. And then how do they, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people want to go see a big thing like that on the big screen with the sound and everything, but still, that's got to take a bite out of the box office.
I do wonder that because, in my opinion, less people are going to movies, more people are sitting at home and streaming everything nowadays. But they're also, there's got to be some kind of formula where they're calculating, okay, this person doesn't have our service, but if we release this movie, this demographic will most likely sign up, and this many of them will most likely forget to cancel it by the next month, and then we make this much money, versus they go to the movies and spend $10 on a ticket one time. I don't know. I'm spitballing, but there's got to be a method to the madness, because like you said, I mean, these production costs are outrageous. There's no way they're giving these away.
Oh, yeah, big names, big stars, you know, big productions. There's no way they can be eating it. So they've got to have the metrics all figured out. And, you know, I mean, look at me. I have Netflix and Hulu. I mean, I don't have the big, you know, the big high-dollar ones, you know, the ad-free and all that. That's the next step they try to get you. You know, they get you in the door with whatever their, you know, whatever their entry-level one is. And those used to always be just under 10, like $9.99 or something like that, $7.99. And now they've all crept up, and they're all, like, you know, in the teens, you know, $13.99, $12.99, stuff like that. You're hoping you didn't notice, you know, like frogs in a pot with the water boiling. We're not watching the water boil. But yeah, they got me for the cheapest one on several services. And, you know, like I got them because, you know, I wanted to watch this or I wanted to watch that. And then I keep it because, well, what if it happens, you know, what if they have another one that I want to watch and that's only $10 or $12, I might as well. You know, but that crap adds up. So, you know, I look at mine sometimes and I just think I've allowed myself to get back into a situation where I'm paying a few hundred dollars a month, you know, for TV. You know, which is what I tried to get away from when I went to the streaming. And I'm right back there, just in a different way.
Yep, I wouldn't doubt if it rolls reverse at some point again because of the streaming costs. They got you, right? Everything was like $4.99, $5.99. And now Netflix is $22.99. And that's not even their best package. It's a money grab. They get you hooked, and then they just keep jacking the price up. But I'm the same way. We have Peacock, Amazon, Netflix, YouTube Premium. I mean, I probably spent $100 a month right there. And then whatever else that I don't know we have. And I've gotten to the point where I started, so this is the other thing too, right? When all this stuff came out, the ad-free premium stuff was not much. It was $10, $12. I signed up for all that. because my whole philosophy is if I'm streaming it, I'm not watching ads. So now I have all the ad-free stuff, and they just keep jacking the price up. Like I said, Netflix is like $23 a month.
Right, you know, and as annoying as it is, I put up with the commercials because I just don't want to pay that. So, but it's still, it's, you know, it's up over 10 now. It's no longer, you know, $6.99, $4.99. Forget that. That's gone. But I just signed up for another music service. I signed up for this one, Qobuz, Q-O-B-U-Z, because it's supposed to be hands down the best for lossless, high def streaming. And you know, they're getting me for $10 a month, and I already paid Pandora $10 a month, and I love Pandora for reasons, but I like this Qobuz for different reasons. And it's like, oh man, Qobuz is like, if I want the highest quality version of music I'm already familiar with, Pandora is where I go if I want to maybe be introduced to something new. So, and I am a junkie for that. So I'm paying $20 just in music services, which I know a lot of people say, yeah, big deal, that ain't much. But for me, it seems like a lot.
This crap all adds up. Like I said, I pay $23 a month for YouTube Premium, and that gets me ad-free YouTube and YouTube Music that I share with my wife. And that's probably the only one that I'll never get rid of. I watch 99% of my media consumption on YouTube. I listen to YouTube Music every day in the car. So that one I'm kind of okay with what it costs. I'm getting two services for one, and my wife gets to use it. I think when you break it down, that's what, $5 a person per service? Like, it's palatable. The Netflix stuff's just ridiculous because they're locking you down to X amount of devices and IPs, and you can't share it anymore, and whatever. So, yeah, I don't know. It's just the world we live in now. Everything's a subscription, and it sucks.
As a Verizon employee, I had some perks with the NFL. Or up until about a year ago, I was watching a lot of NFL games for free streaming as part of their service. That's changed. They want me to buy a subscription now. It's going to cost over $20. Don't need it. Same thing with Peacock and Fox. Peacock. I was watching my streaming for racing stuff on Peacock. $5 premium. No commercials. All commercials started popping in. They used to do side-by-side stuff. That's all gone. Things are beginning to be more expensive now that I'm ready to drop Peacock and Fox. Sean knows I don't have a TV. I haven't had a TV since I retired. So what am I missing? Nothing, really. Good morning, gentlemen. WARCY.
Well, morning, Donald. Yeah, I have a TV, but it just acts as a computer monitor. My wife has a TV, two actually, so one in her room and one where the main one she watches, so, but it's all streaming. Mine is all done on a computer. Yeah, and as far as the YouTube Premium, I agree, that one's a keeper. I will not get rid of YouTube Premium, so I pay for that one as well. I also have YouTube TV. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but if you want the cable-like experience, you know, with a big channel lineup and lots of programming, YouTube TV is as good as it gets, but it's $82 a month now. So I'm paying over $100 a month just to YouTube services. Dakota?
Morning, Donald. I tried the YouTube TV. I liked it a lot, but I don't watch enough TV to where I can justify that. Trust me, if it was like $50 a month, I could totally get behind it because then I get the local channels, the on-demand, the sports. But that's also where they get you too, though, because all the sports streaming is now going to the same thing where it's becoming more exclusive. There's more blackouts. If you want to watch all the games, you got to have this package, and it's obnoxious. Like, what is it? Sunday Ticket or whatever the hell it's called, the NFL one. And then there's the NHL Center Ice. Like, if you want to watch all your local sports games, it's getting harder. But yeah, YouTube TV is pretty sweet. The guy I work with has it. So during, you know, baseball season, football,
whatever. We'll have a bunch of games on in the office or school, but I don't think it warrants me spending the money because I never get to watch TV, and when I do, I'm laying in bed, and it's whatever we can find on YouTube for 15, 20 minutes until I'm like, okay, I'm going to bed.
Well, like I said, I don't really watch that much TV, and as far as movies or anything like that, documentaries is what I prefer. Not a big movie guy. I don't even know what a rom-com is anymore or any other of these 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock hour comedy shows or whatever's on TV. I mean, I couldn't say anything about The Office or any of these other shows. Because it was because I don't have a TV and I don't miss it. But like I said, when I want to watch a race or something to do with racing, Peacock and Fox are the only two that cover it. Last year it was all Peacock. Fox took over part of it, and I don't even care for Fox. They just overemphasize everything. So I'll either watch the highlights after the race or something like that. It's just, I don't think I'm missing anything, not having a TV or spending anything on cable. And if I want to watch something, if I can't pull it up on my Wi-Fi, internet stuff, and live stream it, no big deal. I'll catch it on YouTube down the road.
Yeah, well, that's just it. Nobody needs any of it. So, but we pay for luxuries. You know, we could eat Soylent Green, but we want a juicy burger. It's Soylent Green is people. Anyhow, remember back when we were kids? I don't know about you so much, Dakota, but 247. 50, 56, and 20. That was about it. Channel 9, if you could get it out of Windsor. You know. And you watch whatever the hell they had on. Period. If you wanted documentaries, you were on 56. If you wanted sports, you had to wait till it was airing live, and you had to watch what the hell Channel 2, 4, or 7 got a contract for and put up there. All your local sports were on. Everything. All four major sports were on. Well, I don't know about basketball. Baseball didn't get popular until much later, but I know your hockey games. Yeah, I think the basketball games were also on there. I think some of the lesser, like Channel 20 or Channel 50, used to air all the hockey and the basketball. Baseball and football was always on, so I do miss that. I really get pissed off when Tigers are on and I can't catch them anywhere on TV without a subscription. That burns my ass. W8FU. Dakota.
I was at the tail end of that era, and I relive it anytime I go to my in-laws' cabin up north where they've got an HD antenna, and I say HD, looks like about 480 because of the reception. So I remember that, and now it's like I've kind of lost touch with that because I spend majority of the time on a computer where I can anything I want is at my fingertips. So that's where I end up, and then if I watch anything that has ads, I built a pie hole specifically to get rid of them. Like, it's the intolerance of inconvenience when you're watching something nowadays is actually pretty bad. I'm guilty of it. I do anything I can to avoid ads, to watch what I want when I want, but like I said, this is the world we live in now. Everything is instant gratification, and that's what we pay for.
EHDUW, I'm going to argue that my time is commodified. Everything is commodified, so I refuse to give it to advertisers.
Well, that's like with me. You know, I just stream things, and I pay a premium price for commercial-free stuff. Commercial-free goes from no commercials to picture-in-picture to full commercials again, and I contact Peacock or somebody and say, hey, I'm paying this subscription fee to avoid the ads. And they said, well, we do picture in picture. I said, I haven't had picture in picture in like a year. Oh, okay, well, I don't know what to tell you. You can either take it or leave it. So I chose to leave it, but it's just the fact that, they get you around every corner no matter what. They got to get the ads, and that's the bottom line. The advertisers pay for it, and we just got to put up with it. That's just my take. I don't know how many races. I mean, I'm supposed to have a live feed being a race official with IMSA, so I should be able to watch everything on Peacock, no questions asked. I was given a code to submit, and the code worked, but now we got like four or five races left. Two of them I got to work. But the fact of the matter is, just the ones that I'm not going to be working and I want to watch, the code doesn't work anymore. So I got to find out what's going on with that.
Roger. Well, time is money. That is true. And but Donald makes a good point. You got to pay for it one way or the other. You either got to pay for the streaming so that they can afford to put the programming on there, and they can afford to, you know, that's how they afford it. Or you got to sit through the ads, and that's how they afford it. So, but yeah, you can't blame them for needing to fund the productions. You know, that's, they got to do that. So you got a choice. You can either pay or you can watch them. And you're paying either way, as we point out. But, we want ad-free and we want premium content. Well, there's a way to do that, too. And it's called bootlegging. So, there's always ways. But they do got to pay for the content, right? Dakota?
NADF. Yep, that's it. I think a lot of it does turn into a bit of greed, though. I'm all for they need to keep the lights on and they continue to do things, right? But I don't know if you use Snapchat or are familiar with Snapchat, but I've been using Snapchat since its inception, whenever that was, 2014 maybe. It was a free app, just pictures. They last, you send them, as soon as they clear out, they're gone. Super fun. Use it with my wife for the kids and stuff. We don't just daily activities, whatever. And they've since started pumping ads into that, and they want you to pay $15 a month to have ad-free experience. And it's like, you guys have been printing money hand over fist because of the traction you have, the events you do, and all, whatever other streams of revenue you have. And now you're flooding the app with, it's like one of those cheap games, the free games you download that's just loaded with ads. They're doing the same thing. So that's where I put my foot down, is like, you know what, you guys kiss my ass. I'm not giving you a dollar. I've been using this forever. You've been making tons of money on it, and now you want to make more money. I'm not adding to that.
Well, like I said, when I retired at the end of 2012, physically retired, and I was making transitions and changes and cutting things out that I don't need anymore, it's like, what am I? I don't watch TV. I don't watch these sitcoms or movies or anything. You know, I watch this. I do the same thing I do now that I did when I had a TV. I get up in the morning, turn the TV on, watch the news for 30 minutes. News, weather, traffic, sports. Okay, I'm good. I know about the big accident on 696 and I-75. Truck went through the median. Got a big mess down. Okay, don't need to know anything more about that. But I got that news for today. I'm good. And that's what I've been doing now ever since I retired. I don't miss it. I don't miss having a TV. I find other ways to entertain myself on the computer. I listen to my music. Got some really good live stream internet music channels that I'd like to listen to. But, it's either music, radios, or racing. That's about it. Two R's and an M. Oh, well. WERCY, I need coffee.
Like the way you said that, I found other ways to entertain myself. The computer. Okay. All right, I just pulled up at work, gentlemen. I'm going to lock it on up, get on inside, and start my day. I'll jump on probably from inside in a bit. W8FU, Dakota.
I'm with you, Donald. I spend all my time on a computer, hunting when I can, building random electronic crap, or playing video games, so I'm with you. I don't need TV. Sean, have a good day. I'm pulling in, too, so I'll catch you guys later. NADVF.
Both of you gentlemen have a great day. I'm going to go find the coffee pot. Make the best of it. W-A-R-C-Y. Finally, some cool air.
Up there, and yet co-worker is going to be out of work for 6 months for some surgery. I don't know why.
Yeah, he's going to be out of work for 6 months because he was riding a skateboard with his young son and fell off the skateboard and broke his shoulder, his knee, and his foot.
Boy, yeah, that's pretty rough. I don't I don't get crazy with the skiing. I just go down the hill. Try not to do too many jumps or anything that'll, a few years ago, I went off a jump and went backwards and hit my head in the snow, and it's like, yeah, we're done for the day. We're not pushing that luck anymore.
KKO. Yeah, I went sledding when my kids were younger, and we were at Stony Creek and went down the big hill, one of the big hills, and there was a rut that I didn't see, and it was one of those old plastic sleds. I hit it so hard I got a compression fracture on my spine and broke off a piece of vertebrae off of what I'm, in my back. Now, at 55 years old, I have discs that are degenerating in that area and arthritis. So, yeah, I'm chock full of fun.
Yeah, we had a nice sled hill over by us last winter. Fortunately, it was the last time I had the kids before the snow melted, so we didn't get to enjoy it too much, but I have, we brought sleds, so when we get there, there's a, a bunch of, there's like a little bin there that you can borrow a sled from them. We borrowed one of their saucers, and I go down the hill, I end up going backwards, because, the heavy butt goes downhill faster, so it spun me around, I'm going backwards, and we had a blast with the kids.
Yeah, we ended up getting, tubes, the snow tubes. Had one that was shaped like a dog bone, so it was my wife on one side, me on the other side, my daughter in the center, going down one of the hills. Like I said, we always went to Stony Creek. Hit a bump, she flew off, she was probably about four. I grabbed onto her, and she face planted, and she had a scrape on her upper lip that looked like a little Hitler mustache, so she was a little bit dinged up, but she wanted to go back up and do it again.
Yeah, kids can be like that. They're either, let's go do that again, that was fun, or that hurt, I'm never doing that again. as long as they're having fun.
Oh, yeah, my son was the same way. I mean, yeah, she loved doing it. And then my son, he had a sled that had handles on the side that you could turn the sled. And, he was little too. He was about six. And he would go down the sled, and all of a sudden he turned and start aiming towards us and knocking us off. And yeah, it was a whole lot of fun. Don't get me wrong. I may have hurt myself, but I enjoyed every minute of it.
Yeah, when I was a kid, we went to the sled hill at Waterford Oaks with my aunt's house. And somebody had built some little jumps there, and we had figured out the perfect spot to put your sled at the top of the hill, so by the time you get to the bottom, you'd be on the jump. So we're having a good old time that day. We're seeing how much air we can get on the jump on our little saucers.
Oh yeah, and I used to wax the snow tubes or wax the sleds, just like you wax skis. Even faster.
I haven't thought about that. We could wax our sleds and make them go really fast. Looks like the PGA is at Warwick Hills. Must be a golf tournament coming up soon.
Well, what I found out is I have this, I've been using it for years. It's a spray called TriFlow. And it's Teflon based. So before that, I used to use Slick 50 spray. And I go on the underside of the sleds, spray them, just coat them, and then wipe it down with a rag so it was nice and slick. And yeah, one, you went faster, two, no snow stuck to it.
Hey, Amy, you got a
KGO. You know, it had worked. Like I said, but that's vegetable oil or canola. I'm not sure about canola oil, but I know that some vegetable oil sprays, you know, get thick where the petroleum products, you know, the Teflon, that stuff worked great.
I found that Pam worked really good for putting the grips on the handlebars. It would be nice and slick to get them on there, and then once it dried, it was all sticky, so they would stay in place.
How did I always use dish soap?
Yeah, the problem is you gotta make sure it stays straight before it dries. and the one that ended up getting twisted on me, and once it was twisted, it was like that forever.
Oh yeah, I remember those days. Those stupid metal foot pedals. God, those things hurt.
Talking about on a bike?
Yeah, the metal foot pedals, you know, had the little, you know, grippies on them, whatever, back of the 80s. And when you can't pop it, it comes slamming in the back of your thigh or the back of your calf. These permanent marks. I still have a scar on my leg from that.
Yeah, no, the mountain bike and stuff, they put nice grippy studs in them so that they stay in your shoes. And, ever since I was mountain biking in college, I switched to the clipless pedals where you actually wear the special shoes and snap into the bike.
Then you hit a bump and you fall, and then you know your foot's attached to the bike, and you're going with the bike.
Yeah, that will happen sometimes, but for the most part, it's kind of like a ski binding. They pop off if you fall, so it'll let go, and I don't know, I kind of just instinctively clip out when I know I'm going to fall. But I know when you first get them and get used to them, some people don't have that instinct yet. Max's wife, when she first got them, she just went to go stop and then didn't realize she had to unclip and just went over like a tree.
Yeah, that would be me. The way my luck is, I'd end up breaking a leg or something. I've got enough injuries, thank you very much. I don't need any more. But, in fact, my coworker that I'm meeting up with today, he was off work for about 6 months. He was riding his quad, and a branch caught it and flung him off, and his foot got stuck and snapped his tibia.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like fun. Yeah, when I first got my mountain bike, I got the clip-on pedals, you get the baskets on the pedals, and thought I liked that better because I wouldn't, I was afraid of, you know, the clipless pedals where you'd not be able to get out of them, and it turns out once I switched to the clipless, it's like, why did I, the clip pedals are even harder. You gotta try to flip them over while you're going, and just, it was kind of surprising how what seemed like would be the easier option was definitely not.
I just got the regular pedals on my mountain bike. I've had it for 20 years, I think. Something like that. I've had it for a long time. Have the carrier in the back. Before that, I said when I was a teenager, I had a pet speed, and that's a pet trap in itself.
Yeah, my bike's probably going on, could be, probably 10 years or 20 years next year. I got it in college, so that would have been, I think 2006 when I got it.
That's when I got it. 1995. 18 speed. Mountain bike. It's not like the ones that they have out now that are all chunky tires. Some of them had chunky tires. But, yeah, 1995 is when I bought that thing. So, yeah, 30 years.
Yeah, I went up in Michigan. I think they have, they have their own mountain bike trails, so that was a good thing to do between classes and whatnot. Just go ride your bike up the hill and enjoy the mountain bike trails. And then winter time, they became cross country skiing trails. So it's kind of nice dual purpose.
Well, that sounds like fun. Yeah, we used to ride at Stony Creek. We do the 6 mile trail at Stony Creek on our bikes. That was fun. We've done the one from Stony Creek to, we went from Romeo to Stony Creek and then back to Romeo. So that was a good trip there. And then we did Romeo to, almost to Richmond on that trail. You know, that's all old railroad, tracks. What is it, rails and trails or something like that? Yeah. And, yeah, it was pretty cool. We enjoyed it. Nice. Scenic way to travel. Okay, deal.
Hey, man, yeah, Stony's got some nice mountain bike trails, too. They've done a good job with their trails there. You go up to the highest point in Macomb County. They've got a nice trail system, and then they've got a little like a little park that they've got a bunch of little jumps and seesaws and all the little skill testing area stuff.
Yeah, I like the fact that many years ago where they connected the park off of Clinton River Road. You can park down there, then you can ride to Stony Creek, and then turn around and ride back. And we did not Stony Creek, Dodge Park. We did all the trails at Dodge Park. Go through where the old construction equipment was and everything. That was deep, and like I said, in Stony Creek, there's an old foundation from a house that was there when the people that owned the land lived on the land. And, you know, it's just interesting. There's a Columbus Park that we're going to probably go walk through. That thing's pretty cool, too.
Yeah, I've been on that Dodge Park where they have the whole equipment there. There's a spot over by my parents' house that was on the Sterling Heights side of 14 and Chainer. There's kind of like between two neighborhoods, there's like a little wooded area, and we went back there, and there's a bunch of old farm equipment there. It's just kind of where reminds you of what it used to be, you know, all that used to be farms.
Well, yeah, it's the same as Stony Creek. I mean, like I said, there's a big foundation. There was a house there. The tennis courts are still there. You can walk through those if you choose. You know, the old stairway and everything else before it turned into Stony Creek Park. And then there's just open fields. You go to the nature center, you walk through there. There's open fields through the medicine corridor. Yeah, that's a really nice area all up through there.
Yeah, I've been to that nature center. It's, that was was a nice little area. It was pretty interesting what they had in there. The kids liked it, I know. They were big into animals at the time.
Yeah, they got, I think they have an eagle and a owl by the rehabilitation area of the nature center. So that's neat to see. They're making their flightless birds now because they were injured. But then my daughter found this one garter snake, but it was like a rare tyke that she found. And got a hold of Stony Creek Nature Center and tried to get some guidance on where to take it because it was cold when it came out. And they actually took it in. I delivered it to them, and they took it in, and that was part of the habitat there inside the nature center. Not that fancy.
one of the better features of this radio. Everybody was big in D-Star a few years ago, and when the Warren put up a D-Star machine, and everybody got the 5100, and then the repeater broke, and they never put it back up. But still a great radio. And I got the ID52 also, so that's basically the HD version of this.
Gotcha. Oh, I gotta jump here. Somebody's calling me. I'll talk to you on the flip, because I'm sure you're close to work. 73 in your final KZ8KJ.
Yep, I'm only a few miles away. 73 in your
Beer. good beer. Test 1, 2. Test, test.
Be-doo, be-doo. That was a very poor representation of what an XPR sounds like when it boots up. W8FU.
ABAP.
PR from W8FU.
Good morning.
Hey, hey.
So, working this morning, or what's your stat? I got to run out your way. Yeah, I'm just about at the office, just a mile away.
All right, I just, I don't have a lot of time. I told the boys over at Oakland that I'd be there about, well, they want to go to lunch around noon. I said I'd be there early, so I'm quite up there early. So, thinking about dragging my feet for a coffee if by some weird chance you were available in the area.
It would be nice, but I can't today. Where? How's the audio sound on this? This is a different microphone.
Well, I'm at 75.9. I'm getting a little snap crackle pop from your repeater, but that isn't affecting my ability to hear you. You sound good. Fidelity sounds right. Level sounds maybe a shade low, but. I'm really nitpicking here to find something. It sounds good. I got a real problem with it.
Yeah, this is a Touchstone microphone I got for the Kenwood. Finally, this came yesterday, so testing it out.
Yeah, I got no complaint. I'm digging to find a good beat. Sounds good to me. No problem at all.
Okay. It's kind of weird the, all the touchstones work except for the ABCD. They don't transmit. I don't know what the deal is with that. I don't know if it's the radio or the microphone.
Yeah. Hard to say. I know they're not standard, the 2 of 7. And I don't think they're part of that whole thing. Otherwise it would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, maybe 2 of 10. What would it be? I don't know.
Yeah, it's also when I'm receiving, if I push the other buttons, then I hear little beeps on the radio, like as if maybe they could be programmed to do something. Maybe in front panel programming, maybe it could enter frequencies with it. I haven't tried that yet. But again, the ABCD makes no noise whatsoever. So, still got to explore that, and I'm here. So, catch you later.
Yeah, it's 2 of 7, the 7 being 3, three rows, or three columns and 4 rows, and if there was a 4th, column in there, they'd call it 2 of 8, but it is not, so who knows how any manufacturer deals with that last row. All right. Enjoy. Tell Deb I said hi, and we'll catch you later. W8FU.
WG8KLL.
I knew you'd be over here listening. Yeah, I was gabbing over here a bit. Just looking to kill about an hour here in downtown Pontiac. Yeah, I always used to hate snaking through Pontiac because there's so many different turns and quick bends and all that when the city there until you got out a little ways on 59. Yep, unless you drop down to Square Lake, there's no, you know, direct way through. You got to kind of monkey around. I mean, I guess you can go 59 to wide track, loop around, you know, do the bypass that way, but there's no, like, real straight, direct way through. But it's not bad. I just got through all that. I'm on the other side now in fast approaching Telegraph. So are you doing any HF at all anymore or FT8 or anything like that, Sean? Well, I don't want to say no, but I'm on sabbatical. I took my antenna down and I monkeyed with it, and it needs to be pruned and redone, and it's easy work, and I just haven't got off my lazy arse and done it. I just haven't had the motivation. And so I haven't really had the rigs on. My weak signal stuff, my HF stuff, I haven't had any of it on in a long time. What little bit of listening I want to do, sometimes I'll just tune in at the bottom of 40 and just kind of, you know, try to keep my speed up. Other than that, that's a misnomer. Try to keep it valid, not speed up. That sounds kind of like I've got good copy. But anyhow, I do dial up and listen sometimes, but I just use my little 705 for that, and I take what I can get off the antenna. But I haven't been doing much because of the antenna, pretty much, and lack of motivation, I guess.
How long have you been, I guess, licensed to, at least a general license?
Well, unfortunately, I can't tell you specifically. I know I started, like, 87. I got my novice, I think, in 87 or 88. I'm not sure. And by 90... I was an extra, so it was a whirlwind for about a year, no more than two. So I'm thinking like somewhere in 88, 89, I probably got my general and my advanced. And I think in 89 I had my extra, so I just can't remember exactly when I got my novice. But it wasn't much before that. It was just a whirlwind, just one after another. I'd get one, and I'd immediately hit the books, and, you know, and practice oscillator and work my way up. So.
Okay. Yeah, that's. I can. You know, I talk to guys that've been ham radio operators for many, many years, and some have never even experienced the digital side, or you know, all the different other modes out there. They're still back in the 80s. But it's kind of funny because, you know, I just got my license in March, and I've learned all this different modes of communication in 3 months or 4 months. And I'm having a ball, you know. I'm just like, you know, what can I do if I get an antenna up, and what do I got to do next to do digital? And I did digital, and I'm like, yeah, okay, I've done that. Now, you know, what's next? I have not done FT8, so I'm just experiencing all the different modes of communication out there.
Yeah, there's so much to do, and it's all different, right? You know, it's all got a whole different kind. I mean, it's all communications, right? But it's all different. You know, you can put up a wire and you get yourself a little snot and get comfortable and get down on like 75 and just rag to, you know, regionally. A little bit of that going on 40 as well, but mostly it's down there on 75. Or you can really get challenging and get down on 160, the gentleman's band, same thing. You know, small signals need not apply. You can go all the way up, stay in VHF, UHF, and this is open to a technician. You can do weak signal work. So you can, the FM repeaters are great, but, you know, get yourself some horizontal beams up for VHF and UHF and do sideband. And there's a lot of really 6.2 and 4.32, and you can even expand from there, you know, with 220 and 902 and 1296. But, you know, that's a whole other thing. And that's like chasing awards, you know, trying to do grid squares. And, you know, and then you can get into the HF contesting thing. And there's just so much, you know, and it's all different, you know. And there's stuff that you do when the cycle is peaking like it is now. There's stuff to do when the cycle is kind of at a lull. That's when you might settle into the, to the low band stuff, 160 and 75 and all that. And it's just, and then modes, you know. There's digital and voice and all that stuff. And if you really want to challenge, you can learn CW, and that's a whole other world that opens up, because there's a whole bunch of frequencies that are, you know, just exclusive, and it's a lot easier to knock out some, DX with CW than trying to battle a voice pile up and barely able to get through. So, there's contesting, there's DXing, there's grid square chasing, there's, you know, a lot of guys are digging the POTA. There's just so much to do. It's a lot of fun.
Yep, yep. Very well said. There's so much to do out there. I don't know if I told you or not, but my mom was in ham radio back in late 70s and in 1980. She was an extra. But I was in 10th grade back then. I didn't have any desire to get into ham radio. I was in the fire department. You know, that was my thing. That's what I wanted to do as a career, but I didn't end up doing that. I was on the Grambling Fire Department for 10 years, and I got my EMT license and all that, but back then it was a big minority push and that. So I ended up going a different direction. But I used to watch my mom back then do the CW, and she was good at it. And I don't know, is it 30 words a minute back then or what, but she would sit there and write down all the CW, and I'd sit on the couch and watch her, just amazed how they, you know, even today, I don't know if I could do CW, but it takes a little bit of a talent for sure.
Oh, yeah, it's a real struggle for me, and, but, you know, it's like riding a bike. You don't forget it. You get slower, you know, without practice. So that's why I try to dial it up and listen, just to not get too rusty. You know, can always get in there and, at least play if I need to. And speed comes back pretty quick if you get out there and use it, which I'm not doing. So anyhow, hey, I'm at my first stop here. I've got very limited time, so I got to get in here and take care of some stuff. Good talking. I'll be back out here in a bit, doing a lot of traveling today. After yours, W8FU.
Okay, Sean, good talking with you. We're listening, WDDKLO.
KDKKL.
WAPD. Mobile.
Alpha Alpha 5, Bravo Tango United, W8, Bravo Papa Alpha.
That sounds like Vladimir, KE4ZYQ.
Yep. Hello, good afternoon, Joe. You know what's in front of me? I'm on Pontiac Trail, very close to the repeater. And in front of me, there's a truck with the license plate, Alpha Alpha 5, Bravo Tango United. And I tried to call him. Well, he's definitely not on the repeater. KE4ZYQ. No, it's W8BP8.
Well, Vladimir, safe travels to and from wherever you're going. And I just had to holler up briefly to let you know you're getting out and hope you have good travels and to say good day to you. I'm in the midst of eating my lunch. Chicken parmesan, home-cooked. Well, not homemade, but just home-cooked. I'm eating at home. So I'll let you go. Safe travels. Thanks for coming back. Joe? Yeah, Juliet Oscar Echo, KE4ZYQ, 73 for now.
Happy trip, Joe, 73. I will continue my working day. WBBA will be clear.
WGA, KLL, KFA, DIC.
Hello, Jack, WGA-KLL in the mobile.
Well, hello, how are you doing?
Oh, doing pretty good. Just out doing, running some errands here this morning. How are you doing, buddy?
Oh, very good. I just got to go get a haircut and come back. So, you know how it is. Anyhow, probably, you know what, not tomorrow, the day after, or tomorrow, I'm not sure, but I'll try for tomorrow to come by.
Okay, yeah, I was talking with Sean this morning, and he thought he might make the trip up with you once we figured out a date.
And there's no problem then with that. We'll find out anyhow. All right. It's sounding good, by the way, driving. I don't know about me.
Yeah, you're sounding good. Yeah, for sure.
A good antenna out there, 2x4. It does the job anyhow.
Yeah, roger that. That's exactly what I'm on. Medium power on my Yaesu 510.
Good, that new radio, yeah. Sound excellent, really. The Yaesu. I'm on my 20.
You mean the Anytone 778?
778, roger.
All right, Jack. Yeah, I just jumped in the truck here. I just got out of Ace Hardware picking up some stuff and heard you call. So good hearing you, buddy, for sure. We were talking about you this morning. What a great guy you are.
I think you know better than everybody else.
I told him, Sean was saying how you always show up for something, Pop. I said, yep, Jack showed up to my house, first time I ever met him. I had a big old tray of baklava, some cucumbers, and cilantro.
All right, Greg. Take care. We'll talk again anyhow.
KFA, DIC. All right, buddy. Have a good day. WDA-KLL. I'll be clear and monitoring.
Oh, look, the sun is out.
Good afternoon, sir. N-A-W-R-O.
Good afternoon. Running through the ditch here on 696.
Still not sounding too bad right now.
Yeah, it's turning out to be a decent day. 75 degrees, sunny, a little bit of haze. Unless that's concrete dust because of construction.
Oh, yeah, that was nice sleeping weather last night. Had the windows open, the AC off for once. I love it.
Yeah, I got the window unit, so it doesn't kick on unless it gets warm in the room. But with the air circulating from the outside and around the insulation and stuff, it's quite a nice humidity, nice and cool.
In fact, I got the door wall open right here by the base, which you saw last night, and I might have to actually close it. It's getting a little chilly.
Yeah, it's not deep inside. It's a little hazy here in Southfield, but it's tolerable. And it says 74 degrees, 75 degrees. So humidity is up a little bit. Nothing bad, so this is my type of weather. I hope it stays like this all weekend so I can get those horse shows done.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. You got that coming up, too. So you got a lot on your plate there.
Oh, I love my horse. You know, I haven't announced for him in probably about 2-3 years. And they asked me to do this weekend. Actually, the announcer that does know that he's part of the association, and he's going to be out for days, so he asked me to fill in for him. I'm like, absolutely.
That reminds me, I got to show you the picture of my 7-year-old granddaughter. She's over in Dexter, and she's taking riding lessons. And she's a tiny little thing, and she's on a full-size horse. It's just amazing.
Oh, it's phenomenal. I know, you know, when I've been doing 4-H for 10, 12 years, my daughter, and then after that, you know, I still did the shows. But, yeah, some of those kids, 5-6-year-olds, I mean, it's crazy. And the way they control those horses, it's just wonderful. It shows the compassion that they have and the connection between human and animal.
Yeah, she started off with the basics, and the first lesson didn't even get on the horse. It was grooming, taking the horse around the arena and leading it properly, and in her case, in everybody's case, mindful of the feet and all the tricks of the trade, apparently.
Oh, yeah, that's how my daughter started out. She was, what, 13? Now she's 28, and she has her, you know, she owns her second horse. The first one was a gift to her, but he was older and got sick the last year that she had him, so she didn't do the, you know, sad thing with that. Now she has this one, and she's had him since he was, like, 4 or 5, and now he's, what, 15? And she loves him to death. That's her big boy.
That's what I'm thinking with my daughter. We're talking. It's like, well, she likes it so much that this could be a start of something. And she's only 7, so who knows if she continues as one of her activities. You can only have so many. She's already got Girl Scouts and a bunch of other. But if she starts at 7 years old and just keeps on going through high school and perhaps beyond, it could be the beginning of something there.
Yeah, what county is Dexter? Is that Washtenaw?
Correct. That is Washtenaw. They're just immediately west of Ann Arbor.
daughter taken to Washtenaw County 4-H horse. It's an extension of MSU, of course, because MSU is the Ag College. But it's called the MSU Extension. And in Washtenaw County, get her in the 4-H, and she will love it.
Yeah, I wrote that down. I'm going to do that. Because this one place that they're at right now is, I don't know, it's just a little iffy for little ones. I mean, granted, I know it's pretty strict when you're competing and training, you know, and you're older, but, you know, little seven-year-olds, you got to give them a little bit of a break. But, yeah, I'll relay that to her. Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, she's taking riding lessons, and they have I can't think of what they call it now. I know what you're talking about. There's some barns that are a little bit more laid back, and there's other ones that are, you know, barns for jumping horses, or dressage, saddle seat, hunt seat. There's so many different ways to ride a horse. There's Western, of course, Western Pleasure, Rodeo, you know, Speed, things like that. But she's seven, so with the 4-H program, what she trains in, it just makes it fun. She goes out there and she gets ribbons, and, you know, I know for our fair, Armida, that the kids get money for ribbons.
That certainly could be a beginning of something, and then there's the her siblings, the three-year-old twins that are right behind her. So if she starts with that, who knows, you know, they may follow suit. We'll have to see.
The 4-H program is different, two different counties. They're different, but they're the same. So she's seven. She's right there. She's like a clover sprout. And, you know, she just goes and shows up the fair, and then, it's very laid-back competition. It's not like these other ones that you pay $600-$700 for a show, you know, to ride, you know, to show one time, one day, you know, with the 4-H horse program, and, you know, there's a couple days that she rides, it's split off, and it's a lot easier for the riders. It just gets her into it, like my daughter. And then my daughter joined the equestrian team in high school, and there she, you know, traveled all over for Macomb, or for Romeo, where she went. And then her, what is it? Oh, I gotta think now. Divisionals, and then there's regionals, that's it. Regionals was held in Lansing. But Washtenaw, depending on what district she's in for high school, which is, you know, some time off, she could be competing in, you know, up in Ypsilanti or something like that. All depends on where they do the shows at.
Sounds interesting. NAWRO. And so her grandmother helps her out with this, and she's in Eaton Rapids. She stays in Eaton Rapids and travels over to Dexter to take her to her lessons. And Sue's the horse person in the family. She used to live in Arizona, and she owned two horses herself in those days. So she's going to be doing all of it, not necessarily mom or dad, but that's fine. You know, that would work out too, so.
Yeah, but like I said, check out Washtenaw County 4-H, if that's where she lives, or if she lives in Eaton Rapids, there's Eaton County 4-H. I mean, they're all over, it's the whole state. And being right there by Lansing, I mean, that could benefit too.
Well, she actually lives in just outside of Dexter, but there's an option to go over to Eaton Rapids to the Eaton Rapids area to grandmother's house, because Sue will be handling most of anything to do with horses, I'm sure, as the time progresses forward.
Okay. Like I said, this might be something to start. Oh, definitely. If she's drawing horses, watching horses, burns out the Spirit Stein and the Cimarron DVD. Yeah, there's something there. Like I said, my daughter loved horses since she was 4. She actually drew a color of a bay horse in kindergarten. And funny, the sound looks just like the horse that she has now.
Well, all I know is when she got up on that horse and she's riding, just the smile on her face, and then more importantly, when she got back home and Mom and Dad got home and she gave report to them, their reply was like, oh, I think she's hooked. That is really what it is. N-A-W-R-O.
Yep, she's got the bug.
All right, sir. Well, we got the net tonight. I'm going to get back to you. I got a few more postcards to mail out today, getting back onto that thing. And I guess we'll go from there. So I'll let you go. N-A-W-R-O, after you, Tom. Safe travels.
Sounds like a plan, sir. I'll be in and out today. I'm about 3 minutes from my next location. So 73, get those postcards out there, and I'll talk to you on the net after I got a couple things to do before the net, so I'll chat with you later. KGO.
Understood. N-A-W-R-O, monitoring.
W-8-F-U. W-8-F-U.
You're coming clear. I'm on that one. You are coming clear on that ARC, correct?
Okie dokie. Well, I'm at 59 in telegraph now, so I think this is right in its range. So, good deal.
I'm on the horn. I picked you up very clear, too.
Good deal. What's got you out and about, Jack? What are you up to?
Oh, I had to go to Farmington, get a haircut, and come back. That traffic is just unbelievable on this telegraph.
Well, I'm on telegraph as well. I'm going to take it down to Square Lake, shoot that over to the freeway. I got to get down to 12 and Van Dyke.
Just back. I'm on telegraph and dispatch Corson.
Oh man, we're going to practically be passing each other by. We'll have to wave.
No problem, Sean, anytime. We'll wave. F-8-T-R-C.
W-8-F-U.
W-D-8-K-O-L.
How's it going?
No, it's going. Just got back from running around. You still on the road?
Yeah. There's hardly any sunshine here. I don't know what's going on.
Well, at least it's a lot cooler today, that's for sure.
Yeah, she dropped down to 60.
Yeah, it's perfect, in my opinion. I guess Captain Don's going to take a look at your antenna, it sounds like.
Yeah, I think so. He's, you know, maybe another week. He can't do it now, but another week probably.
Yeah, I heard him say he's got a rig expert, and that's exactly what you need.
Well, you know, I'm putting a wire, too.
Oh, I didn't know you got a wire. What'd you end up getting?
I haven't got it, but Johnny got one for me.
How long?
About 50 feet.
Okay, you gonna put it around your fence there, or run it just the back corner of your lot, or how you gonna run it?
Right at through that front tree, that big tree I got. Go on top of the house too, and come down.
Okay, yeah, that's what I suggested initially, is that front tree. So, yeah, good deal.
I figured out that tree does not belong to the city or anybody. It belongs to me, so I can do whatever I want to do. It's just that four corners, that's what it is. You know, maybe in the winter, somebody was looking at it, but they're not going to know what the heck is it out there.
No, you can't. I mean, unless you're really looking, you're not going to see a little thin wire for sure.
Yeah, that's for sure. I don't know. I think it's better. You can get maybe, I don't know what it is, but probably a 6 to 40, not 80.
Yeah, that's all you need. Honestly, I've been up on 80 and 160, and there's so much noise up there. And, yeah, there's a few guys that just ragged you up there, but I don't spend much time up there at all. I don't really see you even needing that.
That's what he said. There's a couple of clowns over there. And they're always there. And that's the only one that's up there.
Yeah, I don't know. It's the noise floor, even on 80, seems to be like F9, F7, somewhere in there. Some days it's a little bit less, but most days it's really, really high noise. 20 seems to be the best.
20 and 40. 40 is good too, but not always.
Yep, you're right. You're right about that. So, yeah, that'll be good. You'll have the vertical and the wire, so, yeah, you'll be able to switch back and forth, see what's coming in better.
Yeah, that vertical doesn't work that good, then forget it. Well, I got the wire at least.
Yeah. I absolutely love mine. I just can't believe. Well, I went from a ham stick, you know, in the backyard, having to switch the ham sticks every time and all that, but it was like night and day as far as what I could pick up and get now, so I'm happy.
Oh, yeah. Well, I ain't got nothing, so I just went on it this morning. I wanted to know where these... where these radio stations are. I don't know if you know where they are or not. I checked all the 40 meter. I only was listening to one, and that's about it.
You know, I picked up a couple here and there, but I can't remember exactly where it was. Yeah, they're out there. I think it was more on the AM side.
Yeah, but see, I went on the AM too, but maybe that vertical, because it's not match yet, so maybe that's why I couldn't pick up any on that AM.
All right, Jack. Well, let me know what day works for you. We'll have to get together here in the next couple of days. I'm open, so it don't matter to me. Now, Jen will be gone all day Saturday. She'll be leaving to go down to Lake Orion to do hair for her cousins and stuff. So I'll be all alone that day. So whatever works for you, it doesn't matter.
Hey, I'll let you know. Take care. Good talking to you. KFA-DRC.
Okay, Jack, drive safe. WD8KLO, be clear.
Hello, WGL Mike.
WD8PIB.
Jack, how's it going? Are you out on the lake?
No, I'm on your pier, though. I don't know how I'm shouting.
So you sound perfect. Yeah, I could tell you're on their pier. It's a good single beep.
I think the name of the street was that Beltmar, or something like that.
Okay. No, I don't know that one. I have to look and see where that is.
How are you doing?
I am good. Just driving home from work. Man, it's hazy out here. Must be the Canadian wildfires. I wish they'd keep their smoke to themselves.
Oh, you ain't kidding. Honestly, guys, the last time was the fire. I was over there in West Schofield with over at my sister's house. She, you know, she's not on the golf course, but the golf course is right there. I don't know if you ever heard of Shenandoah. And it really showed that smoke out there.
Oh, yeah, I know Shenandoah. When my dad was around and he was a golfer, he belonged there when I was a golf club for a long time.
Roger. And I can see that smoke, really. I mean, it's like a wave. You know how the ham wave are, they coming from all over? And that's how was it. It was so dark, and, you know, I just kept inside the house, and I told her to close the doors.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I'm running around with the air conditioning on recirculate, so it doesn't suck in the outside air.
Oh, what can you do? You can't do too much, really. The sun was, when I was there, I was at, I just came back from Farmington and the Fluffin Orchard. And it was really, there was no sunshine there at all. And I drove half away, all the way to Telegraph, there was no sunshine at all.
Yeah, well, the sun's out there, but you can't really see it. I mean, there's shadows and everything, but, well, actually, now it's clearing up. Well, now where I am, it's cleared up a lot, so I can actually see the sun.
Yeah, you're right about that. I just got home and I went and got a haircut, and my head has been itching. Let me take a shower. Good talking to you, Bill. We'll talk again on Saturday anyhow. Take care. BFA-DRC.
Okay, Jack, very good. See you Saturday, probably. A, B, and P, R.
Quits for the week.
Oh, you lucky W. I got a ton of vacation, but I'm not sure what I'm going to do with it yet, except for August.
I don't have a PTO bank, and I think this is the second day this year that I've taken off.
I guess you can call it a bank. I don't know. But, you know, it's not use it or lose it kind of thing. I get 1 week that'll roll over, and I got 6 weeks to use.
Burn what you can. I almost wish I had a PTO bank so I could justify taking random days off and not feeling like I'm not doing my job.
You do your job very well, sir. That's why you don't take it off, because nobody else can do it like you can do it, and if you take it off, then everything gets mucked up until you come back.
My last day of PTO was when I went up north for the holiday, so I wasn't even really, oh yeah, I took, no, I didn't, so yeah, I don't even know. Trying to think. I usually don't take time off, yeah, no, if I do, I would just end up working from home, so. I don't know, it's frustrating, but we're working on building our team out so I can actually get away.
Well, there you go. I guess I'm taking a week for our meet affair. Am I going to work it or not? Don't know, but I'm taking it off anyways just in case they call me for something.
There you go. I think I'm going to do the same once I get through these couple big projects I got kicking off probably next week. Really just one major project. Once I get that done, then yeah, I'm going to do the same. Just take probably 4 or 5 days, recoup, and get back at it.
Oh, no, and I stand corrected. I took 2 sick days beginning of, or the end of May. Yeah, end of May. Right after Memorial Day, I took 2 sick days. Had no choice.
Did you get your additional week of sick pay, like Michigan mandated, or is that only if you didn't have sick pay?
I think that's if you don't have sick pay. Where I have 5 paid sick days, 5 floating holidays, and 25 vacation days.
That's what I thought. I figured it was. was for people who didn't have it, but now I've noticed a trend where it's just PTO for people.
Yeah, but I wonder how that involves in regards to, you know, certain unions. You know, if my son takes a day off or a sick day, I don't think it's paid. I gotta ask him when I talk to him again.
I don't know how all that works. I know that it's a new thing, though.
Yeah, I think it would be beneficial for certain companies, you know, for certain people working certain jobs, you know. I know there's small businesses there that, I mean, they don't provide sick pay, but at least with this now, you know, somebody who doesn't feel well can actually stay home. So there are benefits.
I should ask my wife what she got, or if she got that. They just unionized at Corewell, so that's going to hell in a handbasket. Nothing's changed, and they're not getting raises or benefits, so I don't know what how that applied to them.
I think McLaren is fighting for something with the union. I'm not sure if Corewell and McLaren or Henry Ford all had the same nurses union. I know something's going on there.
There's just some things that should never be unionized, and I think people that take care of other people are just that. My opinion of what that's going to do is just protect people that aren't working or doing their job right or malpractice. So they're just opening themselves up to a can of worms.
I agree.
Give me a minute. I gotta take this call. I got a delivery coming tomorrow at 8 DBF.
KACAKJO. KACAKJO clearing for men.
WDKLL, WDAKLL, KFA, DRC.
NHZKF AVAP here.
W8FU. Whoever it is, you're very weak into whichever repeater you're
trying to get into. So I don't know if there's a different repeater you can pick or what. Bump the power, move, but pretty weak. We will try that again. This is KF8EFZ. I'm halfway between Holly and the West Bloomfield repeater. Just switch to West Bloomfield. All right, you sound good on West Bloomfield. You weren't doing too well on Holly, but I hear you pretty well on West Bloomfield. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Good evening, Sean. It's Shane. I think we've talked only one time. I'm a pretty newbie here, driving over to White Lake from Holly and just switched to the West Bloomfield. Yep, doing well. West Bloomfield's the one to use where you're at now. But, I think we've talked more than once. We've talked a few times. But what are you running there? I'm assuming you're mobile. I am running a Yaesu FT-500 and just a quarter wave antenna. But I'm, pretty much always near the repeater. One of them anyhow, so don't really got to reach out. What are you running there? I think I've got pretty much a similar setup to Dakota. I've got a Yaesu FTM-150 with the Comet 2x4. I think the only difference between his setup and mine, I don't have any voltage regulator on it or anything. It's just straight to the battery. Okay, that's a cool setup. Yeah, I checked that out when Dakota said he was going to get one. That looks pretty neat. I do like the Yaesu mobiles. I think the screens on them are the best of all the major manufacturers. The font, the detail and the colors. I really like what they've done. The radios work pretty well. They sound pretty good. Or Fusion, so if you want one of them other modes, of course. But if you don't want any of that, you can get the one you got. I think that's just analog only. So there's a lot to be said about that. Yeah, I was originally looking at the 500 because when you just get into it, you're looking for all the bells and whistles and everything. And then Dakota had trouble with the 500, so he went down to the 150. It's mostly analog in this area. And I'm just getting started. Probably going to need, more radios for the house or whatever. So I'm like, hey, if it works for analog, I'll try that and just add on from there. Yeah, I have no idea what his, why he was having so much trouble with that 500 of his. Mine is great, I got no issues with it at all. But I am thinking about switching back to the 200 in this vehicle just because I just don't need all this in here. Maybe move this inside the house and then sell the 400. I don't know. I haven't really decided, but I got a 200, a 400, and a 500, and I really don't need all three. In fact, I probably don't even need two of them, because I'm thinking about my Motorola back in this car. But that's a monoband or UHF. I'll put that in the car. It's an all-in-the-microphone kind of radio, so, it doesn't take up any space. I can just throw the microphone under the seat. But, and then just keep the 200 in here for whatever else I want to do. But then that's two antennas, and I don't really want to do that either. So I don't know. It's all decisions. We have too many in this hobby. I got to run inside Chicken Shack here and grab my tenders, and I'll be back. But I'll listen out, and then I'll be back in a bit. Go ahead and put the ribbon on it. W8FU. Yeah, good talking to you, because I'm watching the signal levels. I'm on White Lake Road, and I'm seeing showing a higher signal coming in than West Bloomfield. I'm still on West Bloomfield, but I'm just about to the campground, so I'm going to check out two. Enjoy your chicken. See if you can hear me, and hope you get soon. Yeah. missed something there. You just got done, and I heard local something.
Yeah, it's, I guess it's a bar or whatever. Yeah. Bar and winery. It's called Local, and it's right here on 14 Mile in Clawson, just east of Livernois.
Oh, okay. I guess I did hear right. Just didn't process it. What's got you down in this neck of the woods? By now you should be off work, and what'd you do, stop for a cocktail after work?
I stopped for two sodas and met up with a bunch of former ADT members. So it was like a little ADT reunion. There's like about 20 of us.
All right, that's right. You don't drink anymore, do you? But is that right? Have I got that correct? You giving it up for you?
Yes, I gave it up. There's no. I mean, I don't even drink a. I'll drink a beer once in a blue moon, and that's the one that I drink is Blue Moon. But besides that, all the hard stuff, I stopped that years ago. Too many problems.
Right, well, the only reason I bring it up is good for you. You can go into a, you know, go into a place like that and not be affected. I can, too. I don't care. You know, it's like, I mean, I'll get a beer sometimes, but if I, you know, I could just get water, too. Less and less I find myself in the mood. But when I am, I am, in fact. I had a hankering for a gin and tonic the other day. I went out and I got all the stuff, and then I didn't get to it that day, and now it's been cooler the last couple of days, and that's a hot day drink for me. If I'm going to drink, you know, and I don't like diet tonics, so if I'm going to drink the sugary stuff, I'm going to make it count. I'm waiting until it's a nice hot day, and that's the only thing that'll hit the spot.
Well, there you go. Awesome. Some, you know, stopped by here. I was in my company van because it'd be my coworker. Stopped off. Because we both were in AT for years until we migrated, or until everything split, and you know how that all goes and stuff. So it's just a lot of old salespeople that we bumped into. One of my old managers was there. He's been retired for a couple years. So it was nice to see some familiar faces.
Let me hit you with a couple of names from the industry. I think you know John, right? T-O-Y?
Little John, W-A-T-O-Y, yep. I worked with him in the Central Station when I first started in 1993. And then I went out in service and did inspections with him at the bank that he was contracted out for. Yep, no Little John.
All right, well, that was the easy one. Now, the next one's not so much. How about Steve Eakin? You know Steve Eakin?
Steve Eakin came from Ameritech, our security link, when they migrated into ADT in 99. Yep, and Steve was our DSC guru.
All right, yeah, he and I played darts together for a number of years, and not anymore, but we stay in touch. I like Steve. Steve's a good guy. Well, I'll tell you what about Steve. You ever hit him up with music trivia?
No, but he's the one that got me into Mafia Wars on, what was that called? Not Facebook, the other one.
All right, yeah, I don't know about that, but yeah, like I said, he's an amazing, he knows, there's nothing you can stump him with on music from our youth, you know, going back to the 70s and 80s and that. And, Then the last one, this one's a little bit, you know, this is the hardest one, the one I'm least sure about. Joe or Joey Azarovitz?
he worked in the Detroit office. I probably know him. If he worked in, like, Flint or one of the other ones, I wouldn't. But I have to see his face to see if I know him.
Yeah, I don't know much about, I knew Steve was, you know, worked there and all that. But I don't know much about Joey. I don't know if he's my wife's cousin, so cousin-in-law, I guess. And they all live like Dearborn, Taylor, Westland, out, you know, south, you know, kind of the western suburbs downriver. And I'm not 100% sure he worked for ADT. Could have been somewhere else that did the same kind of stuff. Who else is there, really? Tyco? Or is that all one? I don't know. I lose track. Is that all the same?
Tyco is who I went to when ADT split the company into ADT Small Business Residential and ADT Commercial. John Little and I and all the commercial guys went to Tyco Integrated Security. And then John retired, I think in 15, I think. And he retired after 40 years. And then in 2018, Tyco Integrated Security, or Tyco, you know, Tyco Fire and Security, which was Tyco Security, Simplex Grinnell, and a couple others under Tyco Fire and Security, we merged with Johnson Controls International. And we became Johnson Controls Security, and Simplex became Johnson Controls Fire.
Okay, well, like I said, I'm not really sure about Joey. I know he works in the business, and we've talked about it in the past and that. But if there's another big place, you know, he could be the other guys or something else, or a different office. Who knows? You know, I have no clue how that all works. But I thought we had 2 for 3. Not bad. But I did kind of know you knew John, so it was kind of that was kind of a gimme. So still 2 for 3. All right, I got to get inside with the chicken tenders, and I'll be back on the radio in a bit. After yours, W8FU.
Sounds good. I think my wife is making barbecue chicken and what we call skillet potatoes. And I got a kid over there cutting down trees for me, and so I'm feeding them. And then my daughter's coming home from Bay City after her second day as a brand new operating engineer in heavy equipment. Casey, kid, y'all.
WDA-KLO.
KFH-DIC.
Sure, I got you, Jack. So, how do you got that antenna wired?
That tree, perfect, and he threw the wire there, the bond, and the post, and the wire, and that was it. So
go away. That's good. What happened? He was jumping to, was that 17 meter? To Ireland. Then he was jumping to Vancouver on that 17. And now...
Caught about half of that, Jack. You were jumping in and out of the repeater there. Anyways, that's good. You got that up and running.
WDA, KLL, KFA, DRC.
Yeah, it's a lot better, Jack. I don't know. Before, you were cutting in and out a little bit.
Oh, that's all right. Anyhow, so what he did, he came in and threw the wire right on that middle of the tree, you know, in the middle of the house. Not that big tree, he used the other one. And if you look at the house, you see there's a tree where the fence are. And that's the one he used, the smaller tree. Anyhow, so he put the wire and he got the box. It's sitting right on that mast, which is that big post over there, where that vertical is. Because I had the vertical, what they call it, grounded too. Anyhow, so he ran the ground on the side, and he put a couple of clamps, he clamped it to the ground, that way I don't hit it with the weed whacker. Then after that, he ran the box, put it on the mast, like I said. And that box is about, that's all it is a 100-watt box.
All right, very good. So you ended up getting that guy in Ireland, huh?
Yeah. You believe that? He asked me back, and I asked him, I said, QSL, and thank you. And he was gone after that. And you know what? That's the first time contact in Ireland from here. He didn't say nothing. No, I didn't say nothing either. Because that's all I said anyhow. So, you know what? Don't worry. You know how much that is? $30. That's all, was it?
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's the first time I ever saw that software, that pile-up buster. Yeah, I put my call sign in there. He ended up calling me after a little while. It was kind of neat.
He must have do this every day because the way he is, you know, he set up on the Internet, and he does that every day.
Yeah, I guess a lot of people were interested in buying a software or using that software, but I guess he just, according to what he was saying, that just him and a friend developed it, and they were just going to use it for themselves. So, kind of a neat concept, though. I liked it.
Yeah, but you know what? That probably software is not even here in the United States. It's over there in the island, you know? I think so. It's not here, but that's how he developed it over there. Well, those guys there, you know, there's a lot of genius out there.
Yeah. I'm sure someone will come up with something like that. It's a good idea, honestly. There's a lot of people going after him. You hear the pile up of the calls?
I did. He probably didn't had no drink of water for a while.
Yeah, I think he had over 85 contacts that I saw on his software when I got in there. So, yeah, he was working them. He's probably still doing it.
When I was on, it was 104, and he had it down, you know, He was doing 87. I had to wait till my turn came in.
Yeah, and I think it's like 2 o'clock in the morning or something in Ireland right now.
Can you imagine? He's up at that time at 2 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock and doing this. He got to be a genius.
It's from Rock City.
Yeah, for sure. Sound like we had someone in there.
Hey, go ahead, that station out there. If there is a station out there, go ahead. Well, I guess not. All right, I'm gonna watch Louis TV. I haven't watched TV in 3 days. So see if out there is any John Wayne out there. Roger.
Yeah. All right, Jack. Yeah, the Detroit Lions are on tonight playing their first exhibition game. So that's what I've been watching. All right, my friend, we'll talk to you later. WDKLO, Eau Claire.
Hi, good talking to you. We'll talk tomorrow anyhow. KF8-DRC.
KF8-DRC-KE4-ZYQ.
Oh, good evening, Joe. How are you, sir?
Well, Jack, I'm going to let you go watch TV, but I couldn't help but want to shout out to you and say, hello, Pilgrim. Isn't that what John Wayne used to say? Hello. But anyhow, just have a good evening, young man. I'll talk to you another day when there's more time. And you get your TV fixed. Go back and get your TV fixed there, young man. You take care and stay out of trouble. Don't get caught. That's my motto. So 7-3 for now. KE4-ZYQ.
Joe, good to hear you out there and good talking to you. You take care, too, and you have a good evening. KF8-DRC.
Yep, thank you, young man. Well, I'm here alone, so nobody can mess it up for me, just me. Good night. 84 is you like you, Claire.